only way to get rid of the thing that is hanging over you is to do it, isn't it? Do it.
God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you again today about doing the next thing. We've been talking about very simple things, small, ordinary things, and about acceptance of the will of God as it comes to us day by day, in our housework, our jobs, our schoolwork, our families, or just in paying, for example, the income tax or the excise tax on your car. Some of you live in states that don't have an excise tax, but it's just one of the little aggravations that go along with living in Massachusetts, and we have a lot of aggravations that go along with living in this state. Now, how about the big things? We've been talking about little things. Let's think of the big things. Well, but before we do that, I want to read you a poem by Amy Carmichael, which has helped to shape my thinking. I couldn't tell you how profoundly Amy Carmichael has shaped my thinking, but her book of poetry called Toward Jerusalem has been with me for close to 50 years, I guess, and many of these poems are in my memory. And this is one that helped me to see that God probably doesn't make any distinctions between what we call big and what we call little. In fact, there is no such thing with God. And this is called God of the Nebulae. Lover of all, I hold me fast by thee, ruler of time, king of eternity. There is no great with thee, there is no small, for thou art all, and fillest all in all. The newborn world swings forth at thy command. The falling dewdrop falls into thy hand. God of the firmament's mysterious powers, I see thee thread the minutes of my hours. I see thee guide the frail, the fading moon that walks alone through empty skies at noon. Was ever wayworn, lonely traveler but had thee by him, blessed comforter? Out of my vision swims the untracked star. Thy counsels, too, are high and very far. Only I know, God of the Nebulae, it is enough to hold me fast by thee. I love those lines. There is no great with thee, there is no small, for thou art all, and fillest all in all. Is anyone out there facing a major confrontation? Maybe with the boss, with your wife, your mother-in-law, your business partner, your pastor? Or someone who has hurt you or hurt the people you love? Let me remind you of Jesus' example. In John 13, the story, the wonderful story of that Last Supper, where he showed the full extent of his love to the disciples by washing their feet. And in verses 2 to 4, in John 13, we read, the devil had already put into the mind of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. During supper, Jesus, well aware that the Father had entrusted everything to him, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from table, laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, tied it round him. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel. Then, in verse 21 of the same chapter, Jesus exclaimed in deep agitation of spirit, "In truth, in very truth, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." Now, maybe you're wondering, what does this have to do with doing the next thing? Well, Jesus was facing his own death. Jesus knew that one of the 12 beloved and specially chosen disciples was going to prove a traitor and commit treason against him. But what did he do? He did the next thing on his Father's agenda, which was to show the full extent of his love by a very humble task, washing the disciples' feet. And then what did he do? In verses 31 to 34, after saying, "One of you is going to betray me," when Judas, that is, had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and in him God is glorified. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and he will glorify him now. My children, for a little longer I am with you, then you will look for me, and as I told the Jews, I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. So you are to love one another." Now, if you can think of this same Jesus, the one who washed the disciples' feet and served bread there at the table to the very man who was going to go out and arrange to have Jesus killed, think of this same Jesus, your Lord, standing beside you as you face some very hard thing. It's a great encouragement and comfort to us Christians to be able to find in the stories of Jesus the analogies in our own lives. Sometimes they may seem very far-fetched to somebody else, and yet it is through his word and through his visible life on earth, of which we have an intimate account in the Gospels, that we can see that he has been over the trail. He knows exactly where we are and what our needs are, and he can show us through that what to do. And so in reading this passage, what I learned, among many other things, but what I learned, which is germane to the subject of today, doing the next thing, is that Jesus himself, in the hour of his extremity, was able to proceed peacefully in washing the disciples' feet and in sharing bread with them. And he passed the bread to Judas just as much as to the rest of them. Jesus stands there with his peace, his love, his joy. He asks you to accept the duty he has laid before you. Accept it for his sake and in his strength and grace. This is what it means, I believe, to take up the cross. My only chance to be a true disciple, to be holy, to learn of him, is here and now, in the command he is issuing. If it's a tough confrontation, will you do it in company with him? Will you obey or will you disobey? Will you put it off, quote, for a better time, unquote? If you're only putting it off because you dread it, then there will be no better time. The more you put it off, the more odious the job will become. Or will you walk straight up to the thing and do it? That's what Jesus did. He walked straight up to his traitor, as it were, and moved with serenity through that last evening of his life. The only way to get rid of the thing that is hanging over you is to do it, isn't it? Do it. So as I set priorities for the tasks of the day, I go by the old rule that we had at home. You don't get your dessert until you eat your spinach. So I put the task which is the most difficult, perhaps the task which takes the longest, or the task which I dread the most, right up there at the top of the list. If I have a whole day to spend on writing a book, for example, it's a great temptation for me to putter around in the kitchen for a long time after breakfast and do a few things besides washing the dishes, maybe clean the stove or straighten up some shelves or something like that. That's recreation. That's just pure fun for me compared to the hard, sweating job of writing a book. So I have to grab myself by the shoulders, as it were, and say, get yourself upstairs into that study, sit yourself down at the desk, and do the job. It is a big job for me to write. I wish I could look at it as recreation, as some people seem to do, but it's hard. It's more perspiration than it is inspiration. So I leave the pleasant, easy job of straightening up the shelves or cleaning the stove for later in the day. When my brain has become fogged, then I do the jobs that don't really take a whole lot of brain work. They just take a lot of elbow grease. And I can enjoy those. But I would say, again, remember to offer every job that you have to Jesus. Remember that with him there is no great and no small. He is the God of the microscopic as well as the God of the galaxies. Do it for him. And remember that every task, if given to Jesus, can be your gateway to joy.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.